We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 90. Time the game on this Tuesday morning.
Everybody's chiming in now about the worst movies. The worst movies. They were like... My man Hot Tub Tony says Spawn was awful. I like Spawn. I like Spawn because it had my man Michael Jai White in it. It was pretty good. I like Spawn. He didn't like Spawn, not so much.
Man, obviously I missed a lot of superhero movies because I never saw Daredevil or Elektra.
That's not your genre, John. I mean, I can definitely see that being an issue.
I don't know. I've seen every Superman film. I've seen every Batman film. I've seen every Iron Man film. I've seen all the Avengers films.
Is that right?
I've seen, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was, I grew up, I was a gigantic Batman fan when I was
say, the Great Seven said Ghost Rider was terrible, too. Ghost Rider 2
Ghost
was terrible.
Rider,
that was the one with Idris Elba.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, and Idris Elba, yeah.
Yeah, where he's, on fire on the bike, yeah. Yeah, I did see Ghost Rider. That one, yeah, okay. There have been some that have just been, it's like you're trying too hard, Or they're one of the things is you get into somewhat marginal superhero characters,
Well, I think Green Lantern one, they didn't do the Green Lantern one any justice because Green Lantern's character is pretty, it's a pretty deep storyline when you talk about the Lantern Corps and everything that goes along with it and all the different lanterns that they have in the galaxy. And they didn't do it any justice. They really didn't.
Yeah, because, and the superhero thing, I was kind of, I always wondered about it because you said, and I understand you say Lone Ranger, not a superhero, just a guy, just a vigilante. Well, isn't that what Batman is?
Yeah, but Batman's, he's the greatest detective on the planet, though. I mean, it's a little bit different. But, yeah, to your point, Batman has no superpowers.
Right.
But he has a lot of bread, and he has a lot of gadgets. So that's where Batman becomes a superhero, and he's a ninja.
Ninjas are not superheroes. Yeah. Ninjas, okay. They're okay. Right. Anyway, yeah, you can weigh in and shoot us all your bad ones. That's on the morning menu. If you go to our Twitter at 929 the game, you can weigh in, and I'm sure you're going to find a bunch of them that we probably missed here. A lot going on here with the sports world starting to really come to life. We know that the golfers are starting to show up today in Fort Worth. The tournament begins on Thursday. First PGA Tour event is back. We've got boxing coming up tonight under a card. There are nobody huge names on it, but Bob Arum's got a boxing card tonight in Vegas. Atlanta United began full team practices yesterday. We'll talk with Mo Adams of Atlanta United coming up in a little over half an hour at about 7:40 this morning. They're underway. Baseball, not so much, Hugh. Baseball is still, no. Chip Carey coming up at 8 o'clock to talk to us about the latest in baseball. Boy, a lot of baseball fans are they're so angry, Hugh. They're like, okay, fine, throw this away. And a lot of people pointing out that if baseball doesn't get this season going, and right now they're kind of teetering on the edge, that they are going to, potentially do damage. It took the baseball, as Tom Glavine said, a long time to come back from that 94 strike.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that we're potentially looking at something similar. Hopefully not. Hopefully baseball can get it done. But, we're starting to get up against it just a little bit. It's one of those things where, we had a hard date. Well, we had a hopeful date of July 1st. That's not going to happen. And now you're talking about moving into, August? September, maybe? Hopefully August? So, yeah, we need to go ahead. We need to, Herbert, make something happen with baseball.
And again, Chip Carey will join us at 8 o'clock. This, again, around, you know, the fact that college football gave us firm dates yesterday. July 13th is when things can start to begin. August 7th for practice to begin for college football for all the teams that are starting around Labor Day weekend, including Georgia Tech, which is hosting Clemson, and Georgia, which is playing Virginia at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So that's what we're getting right now, kind of guidance here, that we are just a little bit under 2 months away from the start of fall practice for college football. We expect that the NFL training camps, you, because there's not going to be any mini camp this month, the NFL training camps are going to start a little bit early, somewhere between the middle and third week of July. They may move those up a little bit, and so we may see training camps begin somewhere around, oh, say, the 18th of July, for example, for training camp to begin for the NFL. So here we go. We're a little over 5 weeks away from those NFL players finally getting into uniform and getting to hitting again. And when they do, what's going to happen with the Atlanta Falcons? Hey, let me ask you a question, because as we talk football here and we start to talk about going into the season, you know, there are a lot of things that will go into what will be a successful season for the Atlanta Falcons. I get that, Hugh. You got to stay healthy. I mean, we can go down the list. Uh-huh. From a former player who played in the league 10 times, all those things, you know, that go into making a successful year, a run to the Super Bowl like you made, multiple times, run at it, and certainly getting there. How much do intangibles count about, you know, things like belief on the team, you know, confidence in what you're doing? Is that just a part of it, or is that like a huge part of it?
That's a huge part of it, John. Everything, like, you could have the best roster on paper in the NFL, and if you have key injuries to certain individuals, that could derail your season. If you can get off to a slow start and not really control your destiny, that could derail your season. There's a lot of things that go into that. It's almost like, to make it to the Super Bowl and what the Patriots did all those years, that's the perfect storm. And then you look at the fact that, you know, all the different receivers that Tom Brady has had success with, and, you know, the different offensive line and all that other good stuff. So, yeah, it's a lot of those intangibles that go along with it, too.
Because I think back to the Super Bowl year, not to remember the game that the Falcons just had, but toward the end of the year and even into the third quarter of the Super Bowl, there was this, you know, especially in the back half of the season, this belief, it just oozed out of that team with Matt Ryan at quarterback, that nobody was stopping him. You're just not stopping this. I mean,
well, I think that the biggest thing that I remember about that Super Bowl year is that the Falcons at a clip was dropping 40 on everybody. Like, that was the norm. Like, you knew that in order to be even in the game with the Atlanta Falcons, you had to score at least 30, 40 points. And a lot of teams weren't equipped to do that, you know, regardless to what you did defensively, because most of the defense they played against, they just went through like a hot knife through butter. And that was the problem. A lot of teams weren't built to score at the pace that the Atlanta Falcons were built to score. I mean, in big plays. Like, big plays was a big part of that success of that season. And teams just weren't, like, for all the receivers and stuff that they had, teams weren't equipped for that. Teams weren't equipped to combat that. You know, and that was the biggest thing that I remember from that season.
Yeah, right, and that's why I bring that up. I mean, the Falcons just believed it almost got to the point where when they got the football and did not score a touchdown, you went, huh, oh, okay, because you thought they, and I think they believed, and it kind of went through to the fans, that every time we, and there was no better example of that in that season than the first playoff game against Seattle, where, you know, Eric Weems let a punt sail over his head that hit like at the 20 and kept bounding and bounding and bounding, and it went out of the 1 yard line. You were like, oh my God, Eric, you could have just caught that thing. And it went out of the 1 yard line. And then we saw Matt Ryan trot onto the field like, we got it at the one, no big deal. And we're going to score anyway. And sure enough, bam, bam, 7 plays later, they're in the end zone, touchdown, 99 yards. Yeah, not a big deal. I mean, they thought they were scoring every single time they touched the football. And the reason I bring this up is because, again, as we go towards the season, there are going to be a lot of things that we talk about. How do the Falcons win the NFC South this year? Some of them revolve around things that you have no control over, like, is there going to be dissension in the locker room with Drew Brees, or is Drew Brees going to show his age, and Tom Brady not going to be able to connect to his new team because of a lack of playing time or whatever. I mean, things you have no control over. But when the things you do have control over – on the Atlanta Falcons is as they try to see if Raheem Morris has what we saw in the second half of last season wasn't a mirage, and you introduce new parts into that defense, whether that offense in year two under Dirk Koetter can really get the job done. And if so, because, again, I think the Falcons are going to rise and fall, Hugh, on their offense to some degree. I mean, you're right. I mean, if their defense plays well, they'll win games. But they're probably going to have to win a few shootouts, and that means their offense is going, especially in this division, is going to have to be at peak performance pretty much all year.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, to take some of the pressure off of that offense, that defense is going to have to step up, and they're going to have to be, you know, the squad that they could potentially be. You know, I mean, that's going to be huge, John. You know, you talk about Tom Brady, you talk about Drew Brees, and you're talking about average. I would think on average, I'd even throw Teddy Bridgewater in there, you know, and it all depends on what's going to happen with him. But on average, you're talking about 30 points. At least in the 30s, at least I would say somewhere between the two teams, 50 to 60 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those things where defense is going to matter and who's going to have the tighter defense. And I would think that right now, going into it, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for what they did last year, will probably be the defense out of this division that was probably, you know, them, or you say the Saints. The Saints defense were pretty good too, but you know, those are right now two of the better defenses on paper and the way that they played last year in the NFC South.
Yeah, well, what we don't know is which defense is it? Is it really the defense that we saw in the second half of the season for the Falcons? The first half, the defense of the first half of the season in the 1-7 start was the worst defense in the NFL. They were just terrible. They were so awful. I mean, they were getting shredded every week. I mean, look at what Deshaun Watson did to him. I'm taking nothing away from Deshaun Watson or Kyler Murray, anybody.
But, you know, you talk about that veteran defense in this veteran squad, man. He shouldn't have been able to do that. He shouldn't have been able to do that.
Right. I mean, it was just a total joke. And then from the middle point of the season to the end of the year, you saw how much better they were in slowing down. I mean, they went to New Orleans and snapped the Saints' record of scoring a touchdown, so much so that the Saints were desperately trying to score a meaningless touchdown at the end of the game before they were stopped with a butt on the ground at the 1 yard line. Tried to score a meaningless touchdown because they didn't want to lose their streak of scoring a touchdown at home, and they didn't score in that game. They got 3 field goals, no touchdowns, and that's how good the Falcons defense was, and flat out won them a game at the end of the year when Deion Jones picked off the last pass of the season to beat Tampa. So, you know, which defense is it? Is it the one we saw in the first half of the season, one we saw the second half of the season? If it's the second half of the season, one that has a healthy Keanu Neal and Marlon Davidson turns into a force on that defensive line and Dante Fowler is an upgrade over Vic Beasley, all these ifs and buts, I get that. If it is, then the Falcons' defense is going to be fine. I mean, I'm not asking them to be the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not asking them to be the 85 Bears, Hugh. I'm asking them to be good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you, and that's what they have to be, John. I mean, and you know, the unfortunate thing about it is that even though we're dealing with what we're dealing with, the pandemic and everything, nobody's going to be trying to hear if you get off to a slow start. Mm-hmm. Like when the football season starts, we expect the Falcons to be one of the elite squads that are coming into this. You know, that's the expectations regardless of what, you know, the issues are, regardless to how much practice time you've had. Yeah, you're supposed to be one of the elite. You're supposed to be one of the elite teams. That's what we're looking you to be. Looking at you to be.
Right. And I understand why the people, who was it, Peter King, who said the Falcons are 25th best team in the NFL. I get, you know, you earn your reputation. I get it. And right now that's kind of their reputation nationally. I think the Falcons are grossly underrated. I think that they can win this division. Not just make the playoffs, win this division. And so I think they're grossly, but we've seen them be grossly underrated before too. I guess we'll find out. And I'm still gonna look. I think you can make a strong case that you can ride or die if Hayden Hurst is what we think, or at least what they say he is, which is not a drop off from Austin Hooper in any way. And if Todd Gurley is going to be, as Matt Ryan says, it looks great. If Todd Gurley can be.
Yeah, what is Matt Ryan supposed to say? Hey, he looks terrible.
I know.
Hey, guys. I get that. Todd Gurley looks a mess. Yeah, he's going to say that. But no, if everything falls in line for him, John, and
I know, you get ready to go.
I think they'll be a formidable squad, no question.
offensively, they have as many weapons as anybody in the entire NFL. Because nobody else has a Julio Jones. I mean, this team offensively, they're pretty darn good. You know, everybody says, hey, look at what the Falcons have to face Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes and Breeze and Brady and you know, Russell Wilson. Guess what? Those guys got to face Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. A star player says, you know, on second thought, you're not paying me enough, and so until you decide you're going to, I'm not going to play. We have a holdout out of nowhere. We'll tell you who and what team it's affecting next. Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game after a CBS Sports Minute.
Game.
We get to the NFL as workouts begin. Some coaches start to come back. Some teams' coaches aren't coming back anytime soon. They're going to work from home for the time being. But there's a growing sense of urgency as we start to get towards about 5 weeks away from the beginning of training camps in the NFL. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. There's some NFL notes this morning. Minnesota Vikings, they have been leaning on the running game a little bit more than some other teams have, and The guy that's been behind all of it is Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook wants a new deal, so much so that he is informing the Vikings that they will pay him or he ain't going to show up. This is what Adam Schefter of the NFL Network said about the now burgeoning situation between Cook and his team.
You can't make the argument that he's not worth some of the money he's asking, but the running back position typically has not been paid. The Vikings this offseason, though, did redo the contract of quarterback Kirk Cousins, giving him $30 million a year. I think Dalvin Cook would like to make that over the course of, say, three seasons. And so with 1 year left in his contract, it's scheduled to pay him $1.3 million. He doesn't want to go into training camp or this season without a new deal, and he's vowing not to do that.
Adam Schefter, ESPN. He's saying, hey, listen, I am grossly underpaid here.
I'm not mad at him. And he's in position to do it. Like Adam Schefter said, John, that's the position that normally, historically, has not been paid. And running backs have to strike when the iron's hot. You know, that's one of the reasons why Todd Gurley got his money up front and got paid. Struck when the iron was hot. And you see, you know, where he is now. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but, you know, you're talking about a guy who got a ton of bread. And, you know, after he got hurt, team got rid of him. And now he's in Atlanta. So you got to be able to get as much money as you possibly can as soon as you can possibly get it at that position, because once your skill set goes, they're going to get rid of you. Best believe that.
Well, look what happened, certain cases with holdouts from running backs. Le'Veon Bell, Pittsburgh didn't pay him. I ended up sitting out for a full year. Melvin Gordon, Chargers didn't pay him. Ended up sitting out for a year. Will that happen to Dalvin Cook? I don't know.
I don't think they have not to cut you off, John, but as the way that they used the running game last year, they don't have a viable backup right now, I don't think, on their roster to take the place of Dalvin Cook and what he meant to that offense last year.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, I don't think that the Minnesota Vikings are in the same position as other teams.
Yeah.
I mean, as much money as they guarantee Kirk Cousins, the fact is they're not a throwing team. I mean, by and large, they're a balanced offense team, and they desperately need to have, not that you shouldn't try to be somewhat of a balanced offense, but, I mean, running back is more important to certain teams than it is to others. And to the Minnesota Vikings, running back is more important.
They hit people in the mouth with that running attack that they had last year. They hit people in the mouth. And right now you got Alexander Mattison, Mike Boone, Amir Abdullah at the running back spots. I don't know about all that. And you talk about what Dalvin Cook was for them last year. Yeah, I don't know about that. He had 250 attempts, over 1,000 yards, 13 TDs. Yeah, you might want to see that guy. You might want to see him.
Yeah, if he made $1.3 million and he wants 10, that's a pretty big difference here. You know,
they might feel comfortable with Alexander Mattison. He had 100 attempts last year for 462 yards and one TD. He averaged like 4.6 yards a carry, but that's different when you got that workhorse up front, mm-hmm.
Right?
You know, so maybe they feel, you know, maybe they feel like they're in a position where they can do that. Mike Boone carried the ball a little bit last year too, so yeah, maybe they feel like They could do that. They could go. Maybe they feel like they can go run it back by committee.
Amir Abdullah has been in the league for a number of years, obviously, and has been a number one back before. But I think, you know, it may be his best days are behind him. I don't know. It is interesting right now, though, because NFL teams are taking a very cautious approach after, you know, what was a furious free agent season. Now they're taking a very cautious approach to what's going on in terms of the remaining free agents and new deals, partly, Hugh, because I think there's so much uncertainty from some of the teams going forward about what it's going to look like next year with the salary cap. Jadeveon Clowney, though, keeps turning down offers. If I'm not mistaken, he turned down an offer from Miami, turned down an offer from Cleveland, now he's turned down an offer from Seattle. How many more offers does he have to turn down?
Until he get the money that he wants or the team that he wants to go to. I think that, you know, Seattle made a plea. Hey, brother, like, I saw Russell Wilson on the gram or somewhere basically say, hey, man, we love to play with you again. He's like, nah, I don't want to do that. Where does he want to go? Where does Jadeveon Clowney want to go? I even heard some rumors that he might even end up in Philly. I wonder how that's going to play out because, you know, a lot of Philly fans were mad at me when, you know, when they said he hit Carson Wentz. It was a dirty play. And I said that wasn't a dirty hit. And a lot of Eagles fans were mad at me behind that. I wonder how they'll feel now if you know, Jadeveon Clowney ended up on the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll all be forgiven or whatnot. But, yeah, he must be asking for a amount of money that everybody's kind of looking at him like he's kind of crazy a little bit, like a little crazy.
Well, I think, you know, reports on the Seattle deal were $15 million. I think I saw reports in the Miami deal that were $17 million. So, I mean, he's being offered in that range. It must be that, yeah, I don't really know what he's looking for here. Is he looking for a multi-year deal? Because I don't know that he's getting it right now. Not with his injury situation and the uncertainty over the salary cap. I don't think he's getting a multi-year deal. Maybe that's what he's holding out for, and everybody's just offering him one. When multiple teams are just offering you one, you kind of got to know what your market value is, right?
Well, I mean, like I said, John, you can't – I mean, you take a bet on yourself. You know your worth, you know? So that's what it is. I think that's the same thing. He just wants to know his worth. He knows his worth, and he's not going to settle.
No, he's not going to settle. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I'm going to be fascinated to know what Devontae Freeman eventually gets because I know he turned down the one offer was 1 year, $4 million. Another offer was like $2.3 million. It'll be interesting to see because he's going to have to go on a prove-it contract. And I think that may be part of what's going on with Jadeveon Clowney because I think even though it's for a lot of money, these are essentially prove-it contracts. To him because of his injury situation. I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where all these guys do end up eventually. I mean, because Cam Newton's in an entirely different situation. Cam Newton just wants to be a starter, and so I think Cam Newton is, you know, he's fine with going into the season without a team and waiting to see what job opens up, either through somebody totally failing at being a starting quarterback or at an injury situation. So I get that he doesn't want to just go somewhere and sign as a backup. So to me, that's separate from what Clowney is going through, what maybe Devontae Freeman is going
Clowney
through.
Clowney just turned it down, bread. Like, nah, yeah. Nah. Yeah, he's doing it a little different.
Yeah, he is doing it a little bit different. I mean, he's the most wanted man out there because he can play, Hugh. I mean, he can still play. Obviously, they're not the reason that three teams are offering him that kind of cash, that kind of scratch, when we're talking $15 to $17 million.
Yeah.
They're offering him the money. Yeah. And, you know, what's going to happen with Dallas with Dak Prescott? Is he going to sign the tender or what? Again, long-term contracts right now, Hugh, would you be hesitant if you were an owner to sign somebody to a long-term contract at the moment? Because I might be.
All depends on who it is. You know, with the things that are in place and you can't really see guys right now, that, like if somebody was a little injured, like say, for instance, Cam Newton. Would want to give him a physical first and have my doctors look at him. But I would definitely be interested in him, no question about that. But I would definitely want my doctors to have a look at him first.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, that's the same you would think with Clowney, but, you know, that seems to be less of a concern with these teams making these offers. You know, and they're probably, I'm sure, look, all deals, even Todd Gurley's, is contingent upon the physical. You know, so, I mean, you could sign him and he's contingent upon
him. I think, and you know what, to be honest, though, I think with Todd Gurley, I think that we kind of, like, that's one where, I mean, I don't know how Thomas Metcalf feels about this, but Todd Gurley is probably automatic go as far as that's concerned. I can't see them not going forward with Todd Gurley as much as they've invested in him already. That would be kind of weird.
Yeah, I think Todd Gurley's an automatic go-to. United is back on the field and working out as if the pandemic never happened, which is good. I mean, it's full team workouts. Mo Adams of Atlanta United going to jump into the program and tell us what it feels like to be back with his mates on the pitch and what they are expecting when they go down to Orlando. We'll talk to him. Top of the hour, Chip Carey, Major League Baseball. Busy next couple of segments. You want to be here for all this with John and you on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
Action at the goal to our left, 40 yards from goal. And it's Hyman overrunning it. Gressel will strike and send it to the back post towards Franco Escobar, who heads it across. Loose at the six. Shot! Score! Mo Adams! Less than 90 seconds into the match!
It's what we want to hear again. Mike Connie screaming about Atlanta United scoring goals and guys like Mo Adams putting him in the back of the net, and we actually have somebody that's working out first team to get back to full team workouts. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. First team back, Atlanta United yesterday at the training facility in Mayreta. Back Hugh to start working out. They earn the that little honor, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what you want to call it, John. The honor, you know.
I guess
just open it back up, and we're getting ready to play some soccer, and we get a chance to talk to my man Mo Adams.
Let's bring Mo Adams into the program. Hey, Mo.
Hey, how's it going? How are you guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. How you been holding up in this whole quarantine thing?
Oh, man. I mean, it's just we're finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, right? So it's good to finally be back, of course. You know, we started off with individual training and then small group training, and now finally with the full team training. Yesterday was the first day. You know, training session full of smiles, full of laughs, everybody having fun, and that's what we want to see.
So what was it like out there? I mean, the first day out there on the pitch, you know, being with the guys and everything like that, you know, everybody's taking the test and everything. How did you feel?
I felt good, man. I think, you know, Atlanta United have done a great job with all the protocols, you know, with the extremely safe environment. They're cautious with everything. And as players, you know, we're doing what we can to kind of make their job easier in terms of social distancing, you know, staying at home, just trying to follow all the protocols in order for us to kind of, you know, have a smoother journey en route back to the game field.
United midfielder Mo Adams with John and Hugh. He's joining us on the WaveForward.com hotline. Last time you practiced as a team was in Mexico ahead of the CONCACAF, Mo. I mean, A, that seems like a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Oh, that seems forever ago now. Yes, it's honestly such a long time.
Second part of that is, let's not forget, Mo, you guys started the season, you won your first two games, you're 2-0, and now you're getting ready to go down to Orlando as an unbeaten team in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, exactly, and that's something, you know, we hold as an advantage, of course. You know, that's a credit to our hard work, and I know the, you know, the coaching staff putting us in the best possible position to perform on the field. So, you know, we're still, you know, looking to kind of improve and get better, because obviously, like, you know, the season stopped pretty early. So we're just trying to focus over this next, you know, month to kind of, you know, polish everything, get ready. And then when we step out in Orlando, we'll be able to kind of perform what we know, you know, how to perform, really.
You know, I know that you've been working out and everything, but how far do you feel that you're away from being actually game ready?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, like there's nothing like game fitness, right, or being game ready. I think, you know, maybe a couple weeks. The intensity in our training session, even though it was the first one yesterday, it was very high, which is good. And that's what we want. And, you know, we're just trying to use it as an advantage, of course. You know, we're one of the first team to begin full-team training. And, you know, the tournament's going to start on the same day, right, on for everybody. So we're just trying to use this time to kind of get ahead of everybody else. And when time comes, we'll be able to show that.
Mo Adams joining us. Was it the old, like, riding a bike? I mean, you got back out there. Oh, yeah. This we got this.
Yep. Thankfully, you know, we stopped with the Zoom sessions on the bike and, you know, kicking the ball around your living room. So we've come a long way, man, to say I'm now in the training field, working on tactics, working on fitness and all that kind of stuff. So, no, it's a really fun time.
Which part of the team needs the most attention? Is it connecting on passing? Is it, you know, the goalkeepers haven't seen live shots in quite some time? Set plays? I mean, what area probably – you know, aside from just game conditioning, you know, which you know, match conditioning, Which area of the game do you think probably needs has the most rust?
No, that's a fair question. I think in terms of, you know, being sharp on the ball, that will come in due time. But I think, you know, use this time to kind of, you know, work on the tactical side of things with the team, maybe the pattern of play, how to move the ball, you know, just in terms of tactics, knowing how to be fluid as a team, you know, the combinations of play and stuff like that. Because, of course, when you don't play together for a while, it's different. But in terms of, you know, the repetitions of goalkeepers, you know, receiving shots and the strikers finishing, I think, you know, you're a professional, you know, soccer player for a reason, and that will come back after a week, you know. I don't think you lose those type of things very quickly.
Mo Adams joining John and Hugh. Mo, when you go to Orlando, I mean, there's going to be the start to the season where there are going to be no fans. Now, a couple of things about that. One is I think we're going to start seeing NASCAR's already talking about allowing a few fans at an event coming up soon. Golf is as well. I think, well, by the time, it's my sense, Mo, that by the time you get to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that there probably might be, you know, some fans in the stands, so that's just a guess. But you guys are not unused to, as soccer players, playing games in empty stadiums, because you do that annually whenever you have, for lack of a better term, your early season training. Well, you went to California, or no matter where you go, you play games where you play practice games with no fans.
Exactly. Of course, you know, we're going to miss our fans. You know, I think, you know, Atlanta United, that's an advantage for us. I don't think anybody wants to come to the Mercedes-Benz and play as a 75,000. But just like you said, you know, that there's some safety precautions that we have to take, not just in MLS, but I think, you know, as a sport in general right now in this time. But no, definitely, you know, for preseason, every game you play is pretty much behind closed doors. So it's going to be like that. You know, it's not something we're not used to, but I think we have to accept that it's reality right now, and it's just as painful for us as it is for the fans, of course.
Talking with Mo Adams, as we get ready for Atlanta United, they're going to be heading down, Hugh, in a month to Orlando to play three games, as I understand it, Mo and Hugh, three games, Hugh, that count, and then they're going to go into a knockout stage of a tournament that won't count. But those three games are going to count in the standings, and Atlanta United is 2-0.
Yeah, and with that being said, Mo, what change do you have to make as a player in a tournament format versus the regular season game model?
I think that you know, they've changed even the substitution rule right now, so you're allowed five subs. I think most of all is every player has to be ready, because I think it's a game every 3 or 4 days. So, you know, obviously we're going out there to get the job done. We're going out there to try and win this whole thing. So, you know, it's going to need everybody. I think, you know, the games are going to come thick and fast, so the rotation of the team has to be good. But that also means every player has to be ready when the name is called, you know, to kind of step on the field, and then we don't miss a beat.
Mo, as you watch, you know, I'm sure like every other player, you've been watching Bundesliga. Now you're going to be watching, you can't help but turn into EPL, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be something that everybody's going to be watching to see how that kind of goes. What is your impression of watching Bundesliga, and how much they, you know, forget about no fans for a second. Did you notice a drop in the quality of play, at least at the start of when they first came back?
It wasn't extremely evident, I think, you know. I mean, look, they're great clubs. I'm pretty sure that you know, they've took this time off seriously, and obviously they're far ahead of, you know, us in terms of how far the season is. You know, they're coming towards, you know, the last quarter of the season right now, or maybe even less. So, of course, they're going to be in top shape. But for us, you know, it was unfortunate that it came at such an early point in the season for us. You know, we were just trying to find the groove, find our rhythm. So I don't think, you know, that they lacked anything in terms of being up to speed, and I think it's been evident in the style of play and the, you know, the quality that they've produced and shown on the field. But I think for us right now is this month right now that we have before the tournament is extremely crucial in order for us to get up to speed, to get sharp, to get clean on the ball, and then, you know, when we step out in Orlando, we go from a 2-0 to, you know, to keeping that going.
Final question from Mo Adams from me, midfielder of Atlanta United, joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Mo, this isn't necessarily your concern, but you may still be, you know, hearing about it too from other players and from coaches and whatnot. Major League Soccer, being first up, has an advantage in that they're going to be ahead of the NBA and ahead of Major League Baseball, certainly ahead of football. You're going to have a team sports stage to yourself for a little while in the United States. Your brand can really generate a lot of interest. I would think you could take advantage of this.
100%. You know, I think that was a key for the MLS to kind of get this tournament going. you know, like you said, you know, soccer's catching up over here in the U.S., and I think there's no better time for it to even grow further than to be one of the first sports or the first sport to actually start here in the U.S. And, of course, you know, a lot of people will be watching, a lot of people will be tuning in, and it's a great opportunity for us to showcase what we can do and then, you know, gain further, you know, get more fans, more interest in the sport over here in the U.S. The sport will continue to grow, but at the same time, like you said, improve the branding, not just, you know, as a league, but also as a team. You know, you gain more supporters if you perform well, if you do well. So it's a great, you know, opportunity for I think every club here in the league.
Mo, appreciate you taking a few minutes. You know, I wouldn't normally say enjoy practice, but enjoy practice.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you know, Hugh, suddenly practice is like, yeah, I can't wait to go.
I mean, yeah, man, you've had such a long layoff, man. And, you know, like, I would think that, you know, the money has been a little funny as far as, like, you know, the, you know, you're not been playing and you're used to, you know, playing or whatnot. You want to get those checks flowing back right. Yeah, definitely.
Atlanta United, about a month from now, you know, 30 days. It's a long time to wait, I know, but still, we, you know, in 30 days might go fast. At least I hope it does. See the Five Stripes back in the field. Will we see baseball back in the field at all? Who the hell knows? We'll ask Chip Carey that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game and Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.